This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله عليك ذات عظيم الصفات سمي السمات كبير الشأن جليل القدر الرفيع الذكر مطاع لمن جليل البرهان فخيم الاسم غزيل علم وسيل حلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واتقوا فتنة لا تصيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He tells us to be very mindful, to be very alert, and to be very conscious and deliberate when there are moments, when there are times of what Allah refers to as fitna. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً That there will be these times of fitna that will not only afflict the guilty, but they are moments, they are situations that will test everyone. The word fitna in the Arabic language, the origin of the word, it refers to fire, heat, intense heat. And specifically, it would make reference to when a blacksmith heats up the iron to be able to purify it and mold it into something useful. That intensity, that heat, that fire, the furnace, was referred to as fitna. And over time, the Arabs, even in ancient Arab times, before Islam, Jahiliyyah, they started using that term. It became used, urfan, within the meaning of difficult times and situations, trial and tribulation. And then the Quran affirmed this usage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used it like in the verse that I just mentioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to have taqwa when it comes to these situations of fitna. Now, what does it mean to have taqwa in difficult times? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it to us in the Quran. In Surah Al-Hashr, Surah number 59, this is a surah that was revealed in the early part of the Medinan period. And this is a time where typically when we think about hardship and difficulty, we think of the Meccan period, and justifiably so. But the trial and the tribulation of the early Medinan period was a lot more complex. It was a lot more challenging. And it was challenging on multiple fronts. It wasn't just a very clear-cut issue that this is the enemy and this is the challenge and therefore this is how you manage it. This is how you navigate it. But the challenges in the early Medinan period were extremely difficult and very, very challenging. There was still the external enemy of the Quraysh, who were still launching attacks and were waging war against the Prophet ﷺ in the Muslim community, the fledgling Muslim community of Medina. You had the Jewish tribes that resided in and around Medina, in which the relationship with which was becoming more and more complicated by day. You had the incident of Banu Qaynuqa, the incident of Banu Nadir, and the incident of Banu Qurayza was yet to occur. But the point is, now you have a neighbor that is, at least at some level, supposed to be an ally, and that relationship has become challenging. And then you had maybe the most confusing or perplexing of all of them, and that was that you now have a pocket, you have a segment, a small group within your own midst, amongst your own ranks, that on the surface is saying and doing all the right things, but behind the scenes, they are conspiring against you and trying to sabotage you from within. And so you have all these different, on top of that, all the other challenges as well. People in Medina are still starving. There's not enough clothes to cover them properly. There's not enough food to feed them properly. In the initial days in Medina, there wasn't even enough clean access to clean water for people to be able to drink. And so you have all these challenges coming together, and now you have to navigate it. And the recommendation, the method in which to navigate it, Allah refers to it as taqwa. Now, what does that exactly mean? So in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborated on this. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. O you who believe, be conscious of God. First and foremost, stop whatever it is that you're doing. Take a brief pause and a brief moment. Sometimes we get so caught up in just moving and going, and that is a very important trait and characteristic. Why? Because obviously we don't want paralysis by analysis. We don't want to procrastinate. But there is a such thing as being way too hasty and too reactionary to anything and everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, before you do anything else, even if it's a minute, even if it is a moment, take a minute, take a moment, and sit down and focus and put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the forefront of your process, your thought process, and keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. That what are the blessings of Allah upon me? What has Allah asked of me in this moment and situation? What would be pleasing to Allah? What would be displeasing to Allah? Think of Allah first and foremost. Number two, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. And then let every single soul focus on their salvation. So that is not, as a lot of times we hear in different conversations, this is not to supersede or to undermine or to negate any other efforts, but this is just simply saying that I, at the same time, while I do all the other efforts, I need to think about my own soul and the salvation of my own soul. Otherwise, there are many, many oppressed who later on went on to become the oppressors themselves. And that is what happens when you focus on a task or a mission, but there is no concern for one's own soul. Because if I sell my soul in the process, if I lose myself along the way, if I adopt shaitan as my lord and my master on the course of this action, then what do I look like on the other side of it? Even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the believers, defend yourselves in Medina, Allah said, أُذِينَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِيمُ. Defend yourself. You've been attacked, you've been killed, you've been oppressed. Defend yourself. At the end of it, Allah said, أَلَّذِينَ إِمَّكَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But you got to make sure that when all this is said and done, and when you've won the war, and everything is over, and you are the victors, you have succeeded. أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Will you be people who pray to Allah and give charity? وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you will enjoin good and forbid evil. Will you be those people? And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that الْوَعْدُ قَبْلَ الْوَفَاءِ. That you first have to make the commitment and the promise, and then it is fulfilled. And he referred to this verse. We had to be mindful and put in the thought and the work to make sure that when we came out as victors on the other end, that we would be dutiful and that we would be correct and deserving and worthy of that victory. And so here Allah is saying, well, تَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ. Every soul should think about what it is sending forward for tomorrow. وَهَذَا الْغَدْ هُوَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. It is the day of judgment. It is the day of judgment. What have I done? And in this, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala also mentions, هَذَا وَعْدٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is a promise for the believers, because the believers that are striving and struggling, the oppressed, the mazlumeen, who are striving and struggling and persisting and surviving, like our brothers and sisters in Gaza, this is a promise for them. But he also said, وَهَذَا وَعِيدٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ. But this is also a warning for the oppressors, for the disbelievers, for the hypocrites. You should really think about what you will have to account for, what you will have to answer for, and what you will have to face in the hereafter for the deeds that you are doing. And then once again, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا. And then again, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repeatedly thinking about Allah, reflecting upon Allah, going back to Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully knowing of everything that you do. بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ وَبِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. What you are doing and what they are doing. Allah is fully aware of all of it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those people that when they forgot about Allah, when they forgot about what's right and wrong, when they forgot about what is correct and what is incorrect, what is truth, what is falsehood, when they forgot all of that, أَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Allah caused them to forget themselves. They would not recognize the monsters that they have become, the demons that they have become. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And when that happens to someone forgets Allah, and Allah causes them to even forget themselves, and who they're supposed to be, and what they're supposed to stand for, and what was right, and what was wrong, and what was true, and what was not. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Then those people, they now truly start to exist outside of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الْفَاسِقُونَ. هُمْ الْفَاسِقُونَ. One of the linguistic kind of significances of how Allah says this is, Allah says this in a nominal form, an attribute, a characteristic and a quality. They are not just for this moment outside of the mercy of Allah. They exist, they live, and may Allah protect us all. But for all of eternity, they will be devoid of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles the believers. Because by nature of even the word fitna, that's why we started there, fire, heat, intensity, it's not supposed to be easy. It is challenging, it is difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides a consolation that we can never be confused or deterred or demoralized in the moment. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. Never will these two groups of people be equal. Not in this world, not in this life, and especially not in the life of the hereafter. And they are the people of doomed and destined to go to hell, and the people that are promised and will be entered into paradise. They will never be the same. They will never be equal. And again, the linguistic interesting nuance. Typically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of paradise before He mentions the people of hell. But here Allah mentions the people of hell before the people of paradise because of the sternness of the warning. And in that moment, when bad people are doing bad things, again, like we said, they forget Allah, they forget themselves, they forget everything. And they become deluded by the moment, and they become drunk with power and crazy with control. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waking them up. And the believers in that moment, a lot of times, people who are oppressed, rather, I should say, can feel very demoralized and defeated. So Allah again starts by calling out their oppressors. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. They are not the same, they are not equal, they will never be equal. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The people of paradise, they are the ones who, again, Allah says it in the nominal form, they are eternally successful. Eternal success is promised to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that a way to keep oneself strong through the journey, through the process. How do we remain strong? Because it's very easy for me to stand here and preach it. It's too easy. Right? Just moving your mouth and just talking is very easy. But living it day in, day out is extremely difficult. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to talk about this. There were those, the sabiqun al-awwalun, who sacrificed in the early days. And then you had the tens of thousands flocking to Medina in the Amul Wufud, the year of the delegations. And they would say, you don't realize and understand. There's a narration of Musannaf of Abdul Razak. It mentions that in some of the battles, Yamama, or one of the battles during the time of the companions, after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there's a senior companion of the Prophet ﷺ from the early days. And he's standing in the front line as the battle is about to begin. And there's a young, strong, energetic, enthusiastic young Muslim standing next to him, who came later. And they look across the battlefield at the enemy, and the enemy is greater in number, a lot better equipped. Think of like Badr, armed from head to toe, and they're about to begin the battle at the mid-morning time when the sun is high. And he looks across and he says that لا يرى إلا الحديد. All I see is metal. All I see is metal. Like, it looks like we're about to fight like a machine. And he feels a little, the young man says this. And the old, frail Sahabi, he looks over to the young man and he says, لَعَلَّكَ جَدِيدُ الْعَهْدِ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Let me guess, you're new, aren't you? Let me guess, you're new, aren't you? He said, son, we've been here before. We see things differently. And so we need to keep that perspective. It's very difficult and challenging. And the thing that will help us main perspective, maintain the perspective, Allah says in ayah number 21, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ. No matter how daunting the odds may be, the odds are not as daunting as all the greatest mountains of the world. But if this Qur'an was revealed upon the greatest mountains of the world, عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ قَالَهُ بِالنَّكِرٍ, opened it up, all the mountains of the world combined. If this Qur'an was revealed upon all the mountains of the world combined, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشَةِ اللَّهِ, you would see those mountains shake and tremble and then disintegrate into dust from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter how daunting our odds are in front of this Qur'an, and the hope that it gives us, the iman that it builds in us, the faith and the hope that it provides to us, the perspective that it gives us, it's nothing. And Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. These are the examples, and Allah says it, this Quran's already revealed, but Allah says it in the active form. We are giving it to you over and over and over and over and over and over again to the people. Constantly renewing, constantly refreshing. The ayat that were revealed at the time of Ahzab for 1400 years, every single time, and even now, every single time, the ummah has gone through tragedy and difficulty and adversity, has been able to revisit Surah number 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, and find hope and perspective and courage within it. No matter when or where the ummah found itself and the odds were stacked against it, they've been able to go back to Surah Al-Anfal and Surah Ali Imran and find courage through the ayat about the Battle of Badr. Whenever heartache has come upon this ummah, they've been able to refer back to Surah Ali Imran and walk through the ayat about Uhud and the tragedy and the aftermath of Uhud. And they found comfort and consolation within it. تِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا. We are actively providing it to the people. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. But it's not just simply to adorn our walls or to be recited at our occasions. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We have to learn it. We have to understand it. We have to sit there with the translation and read it. We have to think about it and ponder it. And then lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last three ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, that are very beautiful verses. There are numerous narrations from the companions about how they used to find strength and courage within these last three verses of Surah Al-Hashr. And they would recite them every single day, morning and evening. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they talk about reciting these verses every day and finding so much hope and strength in these verses. Because it reminds us ultimately who we are putting our faith and trust in. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. He is Allah. There is absolutely, positively no one, nothing worthy of worship, veneration, devotion, dedication except for Him. عالم الغيب والشهادة. He is the complete knower of everything that is unseen, what is to come, what shahada, and what is happening today. Allah knows what's happening today, but Allah also knows what tomorrow brings. هو الرحمن الرحيم. And He is the most merciful and constantly benevolent and compassionate. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. He is Allah. And there's no one worthy of our worship than Him. هو الملك. He is the owner of everything, the king of everything. Al-Quddus, He is pure, holy, sacred, sovereign. As-Salam, He is the grantor of peace. Al-Mu'min, He is a grantor of security and helps us to maintain our faith. He will never break His promise to us. Al-Muhaymin, He is watching over everyone and everything and keeping a track and a record of everything. Everyone has to answer to Him. Al-Aziz, He is mighty, dominant. Al-Jabbar, His will is dominant over everyone else's will. Like we say in the dua, وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدُّ. No one's will stands a chance in front of the will and the decree of Allah. المتكبر. And he is superior to everything and anything, all of it put together. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Allah is perfect above and beyond any other associations made to him. Hu Allah, he is Allah. Al-Khaliq, he's the one who created us. Al-Bari, from nothing. Al-Musawwir, into the exact specific form that we have. Lahul Asma'ul Husna. And all of these beautiful names and attributes only and solely belong to Allah. Yusabbihu lahu ma fis samawati wal ard. And everything in the heavens and the earth praises and glorifies Him. Walakin la tafqahuna tasbihahum. We just don't hear, we don't understand their praises and glorifications. Beautiful tafsir. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala says that when you hear the leaves rustling in the wind, rustling in the wind, that is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you hear the raindrops on your roof, that is the praise and the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The birds chirping in the morning, the insects making noises at night, all of that is the praise and the glorification of Allah. Everything praises and glorifies Him. And what's bizarre is that the most blessed, gifted, a word we use, privileged, creation of Allah, the human being, is the one that forgets Him. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And Allah is Almighty. And why has the plan of Allah unfolded this way? Al-Hakim. Because Allah is the possessor of all wisdom. And only Allah knows His wisdom. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم. قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.